Morning. Welcome everyone out to New Harmony Baptist Church to our American Old West town. We had a great Bible school. I want to thank again everyone that had a hand in helping, from everyone from the Miss Pat and Kay to the ladies who worked in the lunchroom down there for us and kept us all fed and something to drink, and of course Wobbly Boots and our, what was the horse's name?
Charlie.
I was telling Brandy, I just didn't see that in her, but she done a great job. I asked her what she do it this morning. She said, I guess, but I ain't done my vocal exercises, so we could have Charlie back. But everyone done a great job. Had a good number of kids each night, even with a lot of stuff going on in vacation. Still was a good week. And I appreciate everyone, like I said, that give their time. It's those seeds that are planted means a lot to those kids, and the Lord begin using it. So just begin to pray for them. Those in your class, pray. And what was amazing at the number of preschoolers. I think one night there was 18 in one class. Melissa's about crazy. That's why she had to have a vacation. They're going to Panama City. We got several traveling this morning on vacation. So remember those. We got some on the way home from their vacation. So people all kind of directions this week. Also, it's the 4th of July week. What a blessing it is to live in the United States of America. Not a better nation on earth. I'm convinced of that. Not because of just the riches we're blessed with, but the people and that started, I believe, because of people founded this on the Word of God. And there's still men and women, boys and girls who stand on that Word today and thank God for it. This morning we've got a lot of prayer requests. If we went over every one of them, we'd take up the whole time. But one specifically on our heart is the McCaplin family, which if y'all know Mark McCaplin, his stepson was tragically killed in an accident Friday, I think it was, or somewhere around there for early Friday morning. So remember Mark and Renee. Tyler was in our youth group at Concord as we as youth leaders. Watched him grow up, and just ask you to pray for that family. He's got two little girls also, so remember them. They stand in need of your prayers very much. So also today, June Barker had a grandchild that was, I think the girl was around 30 weeks pregnant or something, went for a sonogram and the baby was dead. So they're having that service today. So remember them. They're having it at 10:30 or having it at 10:30. So y'all remember them as they have that service. I know it's hard, but we know that God's way and will is perfect. So remember them. We have many, many sick, many different prayer requests this morning. Our Sunday school for the sick, there was just so many. So I ask you to remember them. And also remember our church. We're not going to talk a lot about it right now, but we're Lord's laid a ministry on our heart, been praying for something that we could reach out to our community, and the Lord has answered. It was just plain this week what it is to be. So I ask you to begin praying for it. And we'll need your help along the way to help us serve and to do things. But I think God's going to bless in a mighty way through it. Do we have any other prayer requests or anything before we go to the Lord in prayer? If not, we'll go to Him in prayer and then our singers come forth. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day You've given us, Lord. We thank You for the blessings of life and to live in a nation such as the United States of America. God, we thank You that You placed each one of us in this great land, and even in Alabama, even in Heflin, Alabama, what a great place we get to live and raise our children and come to church, and the things that we get to do, we're privileged. God, we thank You for it. Lord, I ask You to be with these singers this morning as they come to sing. Father, I pray that we sing no other reason than to bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for all the sick and the ones that has lost loved ones. God, we ask that You comfort. And we don't even understand how they can be comforted, but God, Your Word says You give a peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, we ask for that peace for these families today as they lay these loved ones to rest and that they attempt to go on with life after this. And Father, we know the only way possible is through You. And Lord, we ask You to be with us in this service. May everything we do today be honored and glorified in the name of Jesus, for it's in His name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Thank you. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe.
The man who died, who gave that right to You are stronger.
Jesus, you are higher, my soul's deepest desire. Hallelujah, you are Savior.
Good morning again. Great to be in the house of the Lord this day, celebrating not only Independence Day, but the Lord's Day, a day we get to come and worship Him in spirit and truth. And as we had a great week of Bible school, there was a word that kept coming to my heart and mind all week, and I began studying on it, and that word is meekness. Meekness. We went over this word in our Bible college back a couple years ago, and I had to text my teacher or my professor and make sure I had this right, the meaning of it. And the word meekness, we tend to think of it as meaning weak. We tend to think of it as meaning weakness today, but it means completely the opposite. The meaning of meekness is strength under control. Under control. Strength under control. It had the meaning in the Greek and Hebrew of an oxen that had been tamed. Of all that great strength, but yet it was tamed and it was used for good. And the Lord's been laid on my heart about serving lately, and this goes around the same thing, is we cannot serve until we truly become meek, until we become meek. And Matthew chapter number 11, verse 29, we got the best example of this I have ever thought about. Of course, the Word of God knows way more than I know, but we got the perfect example of meekness. We got the perfect example of strength. Under control. This verse says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Father, we thank you this morning for this verse. How simple, Lord, but what power is in this verse. And God, we ask you today that you open our heart and you open our mind. And God, I pray that you touch us as we try to preach this message in a way that's pleasing unto you, and that God, you may let us see today that we truly must become meek. We must become under control, under your control, before we can be used. And God, we ask you today to use us mightily here at New Harmony Baptist Church. We pray you use us to reach out to a lost and a dying world. You use us to reach out to a community that is hurting, a community that stands in need of some good news. And Lord, we thank you for that. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, this verse tells us to do something. He said, and you go back, he begins talking about all the laws that these Jewish people was under. And I had never thought that in Muscadine, Alabama, I would ever run across anyone who had been or had anything to do with the Jewish religion. But we was needing some help in our business, and we hired a delivery driver. And he come and he told me, he said, "Now I won't work on Thursdays and I won't work on Saturdays because I have to be at my church in Rome, Georgia." And the man lives in Tallapoosa, and I began thinking, well, that is a long ways to drive to church. There's a lot of great churches around Tallapoosa. So I began asking him and found out that he goes to a Jewish, whatever they call their building up there in Rome, Georgia. And I began to ask him, why did he do that? And he said, well, as I was raised a Baptist as a young boy, and I just thought there was more to it. And the whole time I was thinking, well, bless God, you've been introduced to something that's called grace, and now you want to go back to something that's bound as the law. And Jesus here was telling them to take him upon themselves, to receive him, and his yoke was easy. But he was talking about being meek, and that's the word that we're going to preach on today. And I told you that word means strength under control. And I want to tell you, there's never been a greater example of strength under control than Jesus Christ when he was on this earth. He is. The Bible says he created everything, and without him was nothing created. And this man came, and he was meek and lowly. He never opened his mouth when they beat him. He never said anything. He simply gave himself to them. He gave himself as a perfect sacrifice. Nobody took his life. He laid his life down freely. There wasn't a person who's ever been on this earth that could take the life of the Lord Jesus. He created all life. He created everything, and he's got complete control today. He's the strongest being that has ever been. There will never be anything stronger than an almighty God. And he's part of this Godhead, my friend. I want to tell you something today. He's not some little sissy that we begin to think he is. This Jesus is a man of war, the Bible teaches. You go in Revelation, he begins telling about a great man of war that'll come on a great horse. And this don't sound like no man that's weak to me. But I tell you who he was and who he still is today is he is strength under control. And the Bible says, if you'll take my yoke upon you. And I begin looking up these words. And the first thing we're going to look at is how to become meek. How do you become meek? It's right here in this verse. I'll give you a little spoiler alert here. This verse tells us everything we must know of how to become meek. And church, I want to tell you, we will never be a church that serves until we become a meek church, until we become a people or that are meek before the Lord. Now, you've heard humility a lot, and you hear humble a lot, and we tend to run those two words together. And in a certain way, they do go together, but in another way, they're complete opposites. The word humble means to look after yourself. It means to look to yourself, to keep yourself in check, to keep yourself low, to keep yourself behaved. But this word meek, oh, what a meaning this thing has behind it. As you begin thinking about that oxen, I want you to think for just a minute what strength must have been in an oxen. What strength must be in a great big horse that they use to plow and these different things. Now listen, these animals have great strength. And when you harness this strength and you get them tamed, it's used for good. But if you had an oxen that was to run wild, bless God, this thing would tear everything apart. You couldn't keep it in pastures. You couldn't keep it in anything because it's got all kind of strength. It's got enough strength that it can plow a whole field and could do all these things. It pulled carts in that day and done all these things. So being meek was a picture of an oxen that was under control. May I tell you this morning that me and you are wild beasts. We are wild beasts, and as the Spirit of God comes in, dwells us, we are to become meek. We become meek. We become tamed or domesticated, whatever words you want to use. But listen, these animals will become domesticated, and then the wild animal, what could tear everything apart, become to bring life to people. And that's what we are today. That's why it's so important that we become meek, because listen, on our own, you know what we do? We tear people apart. When you're out there lost without God, you don't care about anybody. You don't care about anything. You don't care what you say. You don't care what you do. You're simply like a wild animal. But when Jesus Christ, when you receive him in your heart and life, the Bible says you're made a new creature. From that time forward, you are still have the same strength, but bless God, you're under control. Under control. How do we do this? That word take, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, it means to receive. It means to receive. So it said, receive what I have for you. Receive my yoke. Receive it upon you. How do we do this? Listen, we all know this, but we'll preach it again. The Spirit of God must soften a man's heart before he can come to know Christ. And when he does that, at that point, you've got an opportunity, you've got a chance to receive him into your life. You've got a chance to take him upon yourself. And not only did he become in you, you become in him. The two becomes one. The Bible says you may join heirs with Christ. You're given a half of everything, a part of everything that he owns. And boy, what a blessing it is to do that. And this alone should make us meek. But a lot of times we forget. We forget what's been done for us. And we forget, and listen, the rest of the world, they see us as Christians, and they see us when we're supposed to be meek, and if we're not careful, they take us as being weak people. They take us being weak. And listen, I'm going to tell you this. Here lately in our nation, maybe they had this meaning right. Because we become so weak, we will not stand up. We will not do anything. And that's not what meekness does. Meekness means you stand for the Word of God. You don't fight about anything. You don't go out and you don't pick fights. But brother, when it comes to stand on the Word of God, if you're meek and your strength under control, you stand up. What did Jesus Christ did when He come into the temple there and they had changed it into a den of thieves? What did He do? He turned some tables over, didn't He? He turned some tables over. Listen, this was a man who was an absolute picture of meekness, but yet he was strength under control. He says, be angry and sin not. But see what's wrong with us if we're not careful and we're not meek as He is. We'll begin taking things into our own hearts and our own minds. And brother, we can tear things apart because we have some strength. You realize one of the strongest things we have is right inside our mouth. It's a little thing called a tongue. And that thing, the Bible tells us in James, that a little bitty rudder can turn a whole ship around. A big old giant ship made of metal, a little bitty thing turns it. So a man has a little bitty member such as a tongue, and there's nothing ever that's caused much problems as our tongue has. It's been responsible for all the wars. It's probably responsible for most of the divorces. It's responsible for most of the problems in our communities. Our tongue is the problem of all of us. That tongue, and boy, if we can just control that thing, what power there would be in it. He tells us to take His work, take His yoke upon us. And then He says, I begin to think about this. Take His yoke upon us. You realize today, and speaking from Christian people, they are those of us in this building right now who is bearing burdens that you was never intended to bear. You have received Jesus Christ. You have Him living in you, and yet you bear burdens all the time because you have not become meek. You have not become under His control. You haven't done this. Listen, there's all kind of people who want Jesus for salvation, but there's very few people who want Jesus as Lord. There's very few people who will make Him Lord of their life. There's very few people who allow Him to have control of their life. Listen, you know how in the world, bless God, this is good. You know how in the world those oxen become tame? If they submitted unto a man. Listen, they had to degrade themselves. They had to get very low. And you know why an oxen is so tame today? Because for years, for thousands of years, they have relied upon men to even feed them. They have bred in front of people. And listen, I know this is kind of comical, but they've been the very thing that they didn't want to do was one of the hardest things to do was to get wild animals to breed and been penned up. They said it's one of the hardest things to do. And listen, as they become domesticated, it become not a problem. But here, this great big oxen that God created with all this power and with all this strength, now this thing relies upon man to feed it. Think about dogs. If you've ever watched a dog food commercial, you know what it says? Your dog's closely related to a wolf. But you know what? That little sweet weenie dog that was hugged up to me this morning, that thing relies on me for everything. It come from a wolf who could eat anything up, but today it's a little bitty weenie dog who cannot even find food for itself because I feed it. It's become under my control. To that dog, I'm its Lord. I'm its everything. I put it water out. I put it feed out because, bless God, my girls ain't in here, but one of them, they wasn't going to do it. But listen, they have become completely dependent upon that. And that's why these animals are domesticated. They become dependent upon us to feed them and upon us to house them and everything. And listen, man got them because they was good to use to plow the garden. So they saw they was very useful and began taking care of them and become tame. And listen, church, that's what must happen to us. If we're going to serve Jesus, we must come a point in our life where we become so meek before Him that we depend on Him for everything. We'll say it in church. We'll say, oh, we'll sing about it. He's my Lord. We'll say it over and over. He's my King. I love Him with all my strength. I love Him with everything, but yet we don't live like it. We don't bring everything. We're not under His subjection. We do everything just like we want to do, and bless God, then we wonder why He doesn't bless. You ever think about this? Maybe because He's not getting control of your life. Maybe you have never relinquished control of your life. And I want to tell you something, neither have I. But boy, if we could just learn to do this, what promise we have here. He said, take my yoke upon you. Let me be Lord of your life, because guess what? This yoke that I have, it is easy. That yoke you're pulling, that thing's tough. That thing's tough. Hey, these Jewish people had 613 laws that they was trying to meet up to. And they had all this thing they was trying to make sure they went to heaven based on all those laws. And they was right with God about all those laws. Listen, I don't know about them. They must be way better than me. But bless God, I probably break about 6, 12 of them a day. Maybe there's one of them I don't. But listen, he says, take my yoke. It's easy. For I'm meek and lowly of heart. Not only does it say take, but he says learn. Learn of me. How in the world are you going to learn of something so good? Well, I'm glad you asked, because right here, we don't have to wonder about how to learn about him. We've been given a whole book about how to learn about him. We've been given men who has God is blessed to go to a seminary school we can listen to on the radio, or we can do this and we can allow them to help us study our Bibles. We got books we can read to help us do that, but there's no other source than the Word of God to learn of him. And my friend, I promise you, once you receive him in your life, if you truly got him, then you'll have a desire to learn of him. Those people who say they are Jesus and you never see them in the Word of God, or you never see them want to hear any preaching or any teaching, you never see them want to be around God's people, I have a question to ask them people. I don't know what something's not right. He says, learn of me. How do you become meek? You learn of him. You learn about Jesus. Listen, there's nothing that'll benefit you any more than life than learning about the Savior. Learning about how great he is, learning about how powerful he is, and learning about what he can do in your life. Listen, until you've tried him, you just don't know what he can do. Prayer. Prayer. How do you learn of him? His word and you talking to him. That's exactly how you learn of him. Listen, you don't rely upon any man who says, I got a new revelation from God. That's hogwash. All the revelation you need was given into the Word of God. It was given to you for inspiration. It was given to you to perfect the saints. It was given to you to make you exactly what God wanted you to be. And if you want to be meek today, if you want to learn how to be as Jesus has, you've got everything you need. 66 books. He says, learn of me. You'll find something when you learn of me, he says. I am meek. I am strength under control. I am lowly in heart. Well, that means humble. And you shall find rest unto your souls. I've heard a couple people already that was in our Bible school last week say something. This today, they said, boy, it was a great week, but I'm ready for some rest. It's a great week, but I'm ready for just a little bit of rest. And listen, there's nothing wrong with needing to rest, because we all need to rest. But listen, if you want rest today, if you truly want to be at peace in your heart and in your soul, you learn about Jesus Christ. You learn of him. What do I mean? You say, well, preacher, how am I supposed to have rest when I maybe don't even have the things I need? I don't know how I'm going to feed my family. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do that. He says, hey, consider the lilies. I need a toil nor spin, and I provide everything they need. He doesn't provide everything we want. He never said he'd provide everything we want. He never said he'd make us millionaires. He never said that we'd even be happy all the time. But bless God, he did say that he would meet our needs. He said he clothed them. He said he clothed them. That was here today and gone tomorrow. How much more precious are you? Remember what he said about sparrows? He knows even every single feather on them. He says he knows the hair of your head. They're numbered. Listen, does that mean he knows how many hairs on your head? No. That means each one hair on your head is so special to him, it's got a number. Some of y'all make it way easier than others. But listen, he knows everything. He's in complete control. And when you come to knowledge that Jesus is in control, that everything is under his, and you submit to him, you become as this oxen, and you allow him to be the Lord of your life, my friend, then will you find rest. When you become strong, under control, you will find rest. Who should we be meek towards? You ever thought about that? Should I be meek towards those that all right, here, that boy, they come into our church, and should I be meek to them? Or what about them old people over there that's so mean? Boy, they're drug dealers. They mess with children. They've killed people. They've done all these things. They don't come into the house of God. You mean I'm supposed to be meek to them? Hey, you turn to Titus chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. I believe you are. Listen to this. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing meekness unto all men. Boy, you could stop right there and preach a while, couldn't you? All men pretty much covers everybody. There's not a single person that you're not supposed to be meek unto. You're not supposed to be gentle unto. There's not a person out there that does not deserve your respect, that does not reserve you to treat them as people. Listen to this. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. I'm going to ask y'all in here that saved this morning. Was there ever a time in your life when you was foolish? Boy, you better raise your hand. Was there a time when you was disobedient? Was there a time that you was deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, and living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another? Hey, boy, it sounds a lot like what we hear today on the news, don't it? But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, which we made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. My friends, those verses taught us something right there, that we should be gentle, we should be meek towards all men. Why should we do this? Because at some point in your life, somebody was meek unto you. Somebody treated you like you deserved the Lord. You see, many times when I used to see this all the time when we had house-to-house visitation. Boy, that's something that went by the wayside. But anyway, we used to do that, and I can remember I was the guilty of the guilty. They'd be splitting us up into groups, and they'd say, what group do you want to go to? And I'd think in my mind, I want to go to the church members who hadn't been able to come in a while. Because you'd go over there, and the little grandma would feed you. And they'd be nice to you and all that. But boy, when you went to those who didn't know the Lord, some of them didn't even want you on their property. We went to one time that told us the best thing y'all can do is to leave. That ain't fun. You begin thinking, I don't know if I even want to go to them. I don't know if, and listen, them people still stick out in my mind in my community. But listen, according to the Word of God, if I become a meek individual, I want to serve those same people who had done all those things. Hey, how easy is it to take and look and say, I don't know if they deserve that because they do so and so. I don't know if I want to go over there and tell them about Jesus because they live any kind of way. They're disobedient. They want to cause all kind of problems. They don't live by the laws of land. They don't know any of these things. And my friend, in Titus right there, it tells us that we should be meek unto all men, because we ourselves have been the same way. We lose sight of that very quickly. It's amazing how quick we'll come to think, boy, we're high and mighty. Old pride begins coming in, and we'll be so caught up. You ever heard the saying, we'll be so heavenly, we won't be any earthly good? That's what happens to a lot of us in churches. We become so built up in ourselves. Now we become so caught up in everything around us, in our comforts and everything we like, that we forget about a world that needs to hear of Jesus. He says, some of you were there. I mentioned this a little earlier, but I want you to think about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 18. You become a new creature. You was that old creature back there. This will help you understand who you should be meek towards. It says, for the love of Christ constrain us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth is now we know man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know him no more. Boy, you got to stop right there for just a minute. How many of y'all knew somebody before they come to Jesus and you say, boy, I tell you what, I've never seen a person change such as him. And I realize this, y'all. I realize that anybody that's saved by the grace of God, is the bad didn't matter. They was all bad. And the one that looked like it was good until they come to Jesus, they was the same condemnation as the other one. I know we shouldn't glorify that, but listen, we've all seen them. And the Scripture is telling us we know no man after the flesh, because in the flesh dwells all bad things. The Bible tells us we have a heart that's deceitfully wicked. We can't even trust our own heart. Our own hearts are no good. Even those that's supposed to be good, their heart's not worth anything. And it tells us not to do that. It says we shouldn't know any man under the flesh, because we are new creatures. That old man's gone. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, who hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. When you look and see what you was, this will meek you down a little bit. I don't even know if that's a word, but it ought to be. This will make you become meek
to realize that I was all of that. I was every bit of that. I was a wild beast. I was out. I had nothing good about me. And the Spirit of God come into me. And according to the Word of God, it just says, I shall no longer be known after the flesh. In other words, that flesh, the old man, is put away. Now listen to me. You have to live in this flesh until you go home to be with the Lord. And this flesh still has sinful desires. We all give in to them at some time. If you don't, you're better than I am. But we all live. And let's just don't be so heavenly minded that we tend to say, well, if some person that's saved should not get back into sin, they should never sin again. My friend, that is not Bible. The Bible plainly tells us we live in a body that desires these things. It's complete opposition to God. And it says there's a battle that goes on daily between the Spirit of God and the inward man, which is our flesh that we have to dwell in. And listen, until we become meek, we will not be victorious over this flesh. We must become meek and have strength under control. Next time you get a little built up on yourself, look back at who you was. Maybe you was never a drug dealer. Maybe you was never an alcoholic. Maybe you was never any of these other things we put on ours terrible. Maybe you was none of them. But listen to me. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, when you stacked up against God, I don't care what you've done, you have sinned. If you say you're not a sin, you make the Word of God a liar, and the truth is not in you. You may not have been what the world calls bad, but to God, when you measure up against Him, you were bad. You were dirty. You was found wanting. If you was put on some scales with God, I promise you, you wouldn't have enough to measure up. You stood in need of a holy God. And when you demand, I don't want you measuring up to me, because there ain't much to measure up to. I don't want you measuring up to the deacon or anybody else, but when you measure yourself up to God, you'll find out something that you stand in need of Him. And when He comes in your heart, when He's the Lord of your life, you're a new creature. All that stuff's passed away. It says we are not to be known of the flesh again. So really, on June 27th, 1997, on the second pew of Concord Baptist Church, Chad Morgan died. The flesh gone. It was crucified. It was done away with. There's a new creature. Yes, I know physically speaking, still in this body. But there's a new creature I've come to know. God took up residence. From that point forward, things was different. Yes, I still had a desire to do wrong, but you know what? I knew it was wrong. There's been times I knew stuff was wrong, and I'd go ahead and do it anyway. We all have. Church, it's time we become meek and understand something. That people stand in need of us. People, listen, you're here this morning. I said this last week, but I'll say it again. You're here this morning because somebody prayed for you. Somebody told you about the Lord. The Bible says the only way a man is saved is by the Word of God. It could be sang, it could be preached, it could be heard on the radio, it could be taught in a classroom, could be at Bible school, or could be on the street. But somewhere, you had to hear about the Word of God, and the Spirit of God began softening your old stony heart and made it so you could receive Christ. And listen, until that happened, you was lost in your sins, and you was the dirty of the dirty. You should be meek unto all men, realizing you've been in the same place. You will not serve God. I want to say it again. You will not serve God until you realize who you are and who He is. When you truly make Him Lord of your life, then will you begin to serve. Then you begin to make Him your all in all. Why is it so important that we become meek? Why is it so important? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. Put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. Boy, there's that word again. Meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. I read this right here. Listen, I don't know anything of anything. I thought I knew something in the church I was in one time. It was night service. We wouldn't have about four or five people there at night, a little bitty church down in Clay County. The Lord laid a message on my heart about forgiving one another. I said inside myself, I said, Lord, this is a waste of my time and your time, because these five people that's going to be here, besides my family, I see them interacting every day. I see them talking to one another. There is not a problem with that group tonight. I got up there and I preached as I felt led to do. And after the service, I got time for invitation. These two ladies get up, they went and hugged, and tears began flowing. They did not like one another, and they had me fooled. They had a strife against one another. And listen, as long as you've got a strife in the body of Christ, it cannot serve the way it's supposed to serve. It tells us something right here, folks. Listen, this, I want you to understand something this morning. This is not just for suggestions. This is not something that you might should take into consideration. This is not something you may want to think about someday. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, if you're going to be a servant of the Most High God, you must go by this Word of God, and you must do as it says, and without that, there's no other way. And he tells us right here, why is it important to be meek? You got to forbear one another. I looked up that word and I was expecting some big fancy word, and it come out a rambling word. You know what that word means? Put up with. We got to put up with each other. You know what? Hey, I live in a house with four girls. I love them to death, but sometimes I just have to put up with them. You've had your spouse, some of you, for 40 years, or Peggy, 50 years. There's been some times in 50 years that Peggy just had to put up with Charlie. There have been times Charlie's had to put up with Peggy. What that means it ain't always fun, but you just got to do it sometimes. And that's what that word forbear means. It means you got to put up with one another. You got to be around one another. You got to be there. And forgive one another. You got to be forgiven. Listen, until you become meek, you cannot forgive. You may say you forgive all day long, but until you become meek and you realize something, that Jesus Christ has forgiven you, then you will never, ever forgive anybody else. You won't see the need to forgiveness until you realize the need for you to be forgiven and what's been done for you. You won't see the need. Church, it's time. I don't know if anybody's got a problem with anybody. If you do, today you need to make that thing right. You need to forgive them. You need to cleanse that, take all that stuff away, and you need to be like you once was. Listen, when something is completely forgiven, the way God forgives, that thing is wiped out. Now understand that we have memories. And no, I'm not dumb enough to think you can forget it. I know you'll always remember what so-and-so done to you in 1957. I know that because I do it myself. But you truly must forgive that person. You must forgive them. I've had a person in my life. I'm not going to tell you any details because that's not your business. But I had a person in my life that has hurt me probably deeper than anyone ever has. Nobody knows about this but Stephanie. For years, I carried a hate in my heart. So bad to why I'd see this person on the road. And I drove a big truck at this time, and I saw this person. I was in that big truck one day. Thought come to my mind, you know what, I could just bump him just a little bit. Boy, he'd go off that road. I'd be through with this. The Lord smote my heart that day. Son, you've been forgiven. You've been forgiven. You've been white, and you didn't deserve it. This man deserved my forgiveness? No. But according to God, I got to forgive him. The same way with you. Maybe somebody in your life that has hurt you so deeply, you just cannot get over it. I want to tell you something. You will not become meek. You will not become a servant until you learn to forgive. It's right here. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do you. You must forgive. Not only must you forbear and forgive, you must love. And above all these things, put on charity, which means love, which is a bond of perfectness. The bond of perfectness. You say, well, I love. Listen, if you're not saved, number one, you cannot love. If you don't know Jesus and a free pardon of sin, if you have not received Him, you don't know what love is. When the Spirit of God indwells that life, then you begin to get a sense of that love and begin understanding what love is. And listen, after that, church, it's so easy to let these things come in and begin crowding us when we as God's people are supposed to be meek towards one another, that we'll let something that somebody say, this is what gets me. Boy, and it's worse right now than it has ever been because we got a little something called social media and we can get on there and be mean to everybody. And bless God, if you're in charge of something, you better watch out because you're going to get blasted on that thing and you can't even take up for yourself. It just happens. We'll get on there and we'll slander somebody. We're not careful, we build up resentment against them. Humanly speaking, they probably deserved it. But godly speaking, you must forgive them and you must love them. You must love them. Love is what everything we do as Christians is based around. Why do we love Jesus? Because he first loved us. Why do we love our neighbors? Because we have been loved. 1 John tells us that. If any man says that he knows God and loves not his brethren, he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. If you say that you're a Christian and you don't love those lost people, you don't love your neighbors, you don't love your fellow church members, don't take it up with me, take it up with the Word of God. It says you are a liar. God is love. Why? To be meek. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body. The peace that comes from being meek before God. That first verse I read you, Matthew 11:29. If you go down to 11:30, it tells us something. It says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." How many of you have ever pulled around something? You ever pulled something, how hard it is, or toted a cement block up a hill? And then when you put that thing down, boy, you can just Cadillac on. He says, "Take my burden upon you." My burden's easy, and it's light. This last one, we're going to close. Thankfulness. Be ye thankful. I don't know of a better day as far as an American we should be thankful than on July the 4th. Boy, our Independence Day of freedom. Be thankful. And there's nothing more we take for granted than living in the United States of America. Every single one of us do. We think it's just because this is my name, I'm deserved this stuff. Did you ever think about it? There's men, women, boys, and girls right now on a battlefield somewhere so you can be sitting here in freedom. Or if not, there's men and women who have been there before so you can be sitting right here. I know it's a local saying, it's been said a lot, but there's two persons that's ever died for you, Jesus Christ and an American soldier. They died for your freedom. Be thankful. Be thankful of what you have. Be thankful of the God you've got. And become meek before Him. And take His yoke upon you, for it's easy. His burden light. I pinned down a little summary. I don't do this all the time, but I did yesterday. We are as wild beasts. We have the power. We have the power to tear apart. We have the power to destroy, just as those oxen did. We have the power. Eat, the very humblest one of you in here right now today could tear this church completely to pieces by one rumor. We have that power. You also have the power to grow this church. The same power when you become meek. The same ox that contains enough power to pull heavy loads and plow, when yoked up right, was used to produce food and needs for life. For these ox to be used, they had to be tamed. Means they had to come under authority. Had to have something over them. Just as me and you do. They lose their ability to survive on their own. Right now, our domesticated dogs, a lot of them would be in trouble. Our domesticated cats would be in trouble. Some of the things we domesticated, our cattle and all this, would be in trouble for just a little while. And then they'd pick up on it. They've come under complete authority. They're putting their dependency upon a person. Me and you today will truly become meek when we put our whole dependency upon God. There's not a better person. There's not a better being. There's not a better anything to put your trust in than an almighty God. He started from the beginning. When was that? I can't tell you. And all the way to the end. When's that? It will never be. Always has been, always will be. He's an eternal God. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's never weak. He's all powerful. Today, will you let your strength be put under control? You are strong. Human beings are some of the strongest things that God ever made. Some of the things you can bear is beyond me. We tend to think an ant is all this powerful. An ant is very powerful. But human beings, some of the things that they can go through and still keep going, it's just unbelievable. You have a great strength. You have great strength in you. Every single one of you have a great strength. But until you submit it unto God, it cannot be used. Maybe you're using your strength for things today that you don't want to tell me, and you don't have to. But you take that same energy and turn it towards serving an almighty God. Will you allow Him to make you meek? And I'm going to tell you something. If you will ask Him, He is faithful, and He will do it. He'll begin showing you. He showed me this week. Simple things. Simply telling people that you appreciate what they've done for you. That's meekness. Telling people that you're praying for them and that you love them. That's meekness. You never know what a kind word may mean to some hurting person. As we all stand this morning, Pat comes forth. I want you to think about what great strengths lie upon you. Lie within you. We all have strengths that others don't have. Some of you have strength in areas that I don't have. Some of you others have strength in areas that those don't have. Every single one of us has been given great strength by an almighty Creator who created you to do something for His kingdom. Today, will you become meek? Will you become under control and allow God to be your authority? It's my prayer that we all come to this point in our life. This is a hard part because we all like to be in control. We all like to be in full control of our lives. Flew one time to Seattle, Washington beside a pilot with Delta. I told him, I said, "Fella, I couldn't do your job." He said, "Why not?" I said, "I can't stand heights." He said, "I don't like heights either." I said, "But you're an airplane pilot." He said, "Yeah, but when I'm in front, I'm in control." We like to be in control. Today, you cannot be a servant of God if you want to allow Him to be your authority and be in control of your life. Will you do that today? As this song sings, commit your life to Him and see where He has you to serve. See where He has you to work for Him. You have a greater purpose maybe than what you're fulfilling right now. You have a greater purpose. You never know what you could do if you put your strength under God's control.